There's no one, I'm sure, whom we would rather have to give our first foundation lecture, and certainly no one more fitted to address us on the space age and its implications to New Zealand. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Pickering.
Thank you very much. I guess it was a few years ago that I stood at this platform and gave the Sir Douglas Robb series of lectures on our progress in space up to the middle 70s. Well, it's about time to have another look at it and see where we are now. And I'm very pleased to be back and have this opportunity to address you. Well, now let me come back to the general subject of space developments, and let me reflect on the question of where does New Zealand fit in. Well, the most obvious answer, of course, is that New Zealand should be and is in fact a user of satellite communications. Because of the geographical location, you must be a large user of transoceanic communications, and satellites provide an economic method of satisfying this need. New Zealand is a member of Intelsat, and through the ground station at Warkworth, handles many thousands of overseas telephone calls per year, and also television circuits are handled over at Warkworth in addition. In fact, the numbers are growing, and a new antenna, I understand, is being built at Warkworth, expected to come on the air in a few months. The world, in fact, is moving towards an information society where access to information and data is becoming so universal and cheap that the individual can readily use the great libraries of the world, and the corporation can call up pertinent data from sources anywhere in the world. New Zealanders need no longer feel isolated. You are as much a part of the world community as any individual in London or Los Angeles or Tokyo. As you know, Australia is planning its own communication satellite to be launched from the shuttle in 1985, and incidentally, an Australian is expected to ride along on that launch. From a technical point of view, it's obviously important for New Zealand to have highly trained communication engineers familiar with the engineering details of these satellite systems, not only those that are now in existence, but also those that can be expected to be produced in the future. There is a growing problem of availability of room in the geosynchronous orbit used by these satellites. There are about 120 such satellites in orbit at this time. And if New Zealand wants to continue using these satellites, it must understand the technical and political problems which have to be solved. For example, if the radio frequency used is moved to a higher frequency, what will be the effect on ground station operating costs and operating procedures? Will the weather conditions at Warkworth affect operations? If more satellites are placed in orbit over the Pacific Ocean, will it be necessary to use more sharply defined beams to communicate with the correct satellite? How many satellites will it be necessary to communicate with? Decisions impacting these and other problems are made in international conferences, and the New Zealand representation must be knowledgeable in both technical and economic consequences of any decision. There can be no question of the economic importance of communication satellites to New Zealand. What about some of the other satellite applications? Probably the most direct example is the fishing industry. Satellites can observe ocean temperatures, surface water coloration, cold water upwelling. And these observations can be used to help locate fishing grounds and perhaps find some that are not now known. The technical and organizational arrangements to exploit these data may not exist, but considering that in the future better data of these types will be available, it would be prudent to explore the possibilities. Another kind of satellite, of course, is the meteorological satellite. New Zealand is already using data from these satellites, and with the relatively sparse coverage of New Zealand waters by surface observations, the satellite is certainly an important new resource for the meteorologist. And again, looking to the future, the quality and quantity of the data available will be of increasing value. And therefore, since accurate weather forecasting is a positive economic good, you should be establishing the necessary arrangements to take advantage of these data. The land resource satellites, which photograph the Earth or produce radar images of the Earth, are another asset of value to New Zealand. And as a matter of fact, I think it's the next shuttle, or the one after the next one, which will be carrying a synthetic aperture radar system, which is expected to make an observation and make a map of all of New Zealand. Good work in this field, of course, is being done by the DSIR and others, and this should be encouraged. The question of a ground station to receive data directly must be evaluated. At the present time, there is a Landsat receiving station near Alice Springs, Australia, which receives data covering all of Australia, but New Zealand is out of range. You are dependent on data collected by other people. The new Landsat series will send all this data back to the USA via a relay satellite in geosynchronous orbit, and the data will then be made available to customers such as New Zealand. However, at present, the USA is considering some arrangement which transfers these satellites to the private sector, and how such a transfer will affect availability and cost of data is not known. My advice to you is keep abreast of developments in the USA, but also watch what is being done by other nations, particularly France and Japan. They intend to fly equivalent satellites to Landsat, and the potential value of these data is very great. Now, the application of satellites to navigation and surveying. If the orbit of a satellite is measured, its future path can be predicted, and so an observer on the ground with a suitable radio receiver can listen to the transmissions from the satellite and calculate his position on the Earth. The method is surprisingly accurate. Present-day techniques can fix a position in latitude, longitude, and altitude to an accuracy of about a meter. And the ground station equipment to do this can be condensed down to a backpack load, so that the method is feasible for surveying in rough country, or locating ships at sea, or solving almost any other surveying problem. And with the new generation of satellites, the global positioning satellite, the accuracy will be improved still further. Now, the economics of using a satellite for surveying must be evaluated in terms of manpower and time requirements as against the cost of equipment. Generally speaking, the size of field crews could be reduced, the time in the field reduced, so that there are significant savings to offset the higher equipment costs. But studies should be made to evaluate the sorts of problems which are appropriate for this satellite technique. So far, I've been talking about the direct applications of satellite data to problems of practical interest to New Zealand, and now let me broaden the concept. Satellites are used to collect scientific data about the Earth, the interplanetary space, and bodies of the solar system. The scientists working on these projects are not necessarily restricted to the nation launching the mission. European scientists have participated in U.S. missions. A U.S. experiment is planned for a future Soviet spacecraft. French scientists have participated in Soviet missions. Any New Zealand scientist who has an interest in space experiments should be alert for flight opportunities. He may have to provide his own source of funds, although in the case of the US, there's a reasonable chance that the space agency would pick up some of the costs. Another opportunity for the scientist in New Zealand is to help in the analysis of data. The general policy in the US is that the scientific team responsible for the experiment has exclusive use of the data for about a year, and after that the data are available for other qualified scientists. I'm sure that the scientific community in New Zealand is generally aware of these possibilities and opportunities. I think they should be encouraged. What about the opportunities for New Zealand industry to contribute hardware or software to the space program? Obviously, New Zealand is not going to design its own spacecraft, But there is an opportunity for New Zealand ingenuity to be demonstrated in the supporting instrumentation and other peripheral devices. One example is the handheld radiometer of Delphi Industries here in Auckland. This device is used in connection with space projects collecting data on Earth resources and is expected to fly on a shuttle in the near future. There are similar instruments made in the US, but the Delphi instrument is one of the best. Why not provide other instruments like this, not only to the space industry, but also to other users of high technology anywhere in the world? In many cases, markets may be relatively small. The demand for quality and reliability is very high. It's a natural opportunity for your bright young people to show what they can do. Frequently, the large firms in the industrialized nations are uninterested or unable to supply these devices. If you appear with an instrument having demonstrable quality and performance and convincing evidence that you can reproduce it, you will find a market. There's one other obvious requirement, namely, of course, that you are indeed fulfilling a need. It's easy to find engineers with brilliant solutions who then discover that no one is interested in the problem that they've solved. If you expect to contribute to high technology developments, you must do your homework and understand where there are needs. Unfortunately, global communications make this much easier to accomplish than it was half a century ago. I see no reason why New Zealand should not be a major supplier of high-quality specialized devices to customers anywhere in the world. Your educational and social environment make this possible. You need to encourage the entrepreneurial instincts of your inventors. This is not a backyard or home garage shop concept. To build to the standards of quality, reliability, and reproducibility expected in a space program will require dust-free clean rooms for assembly of parts and testing and calibration done to the highest laboratory standards. The capital investment required is considerable, and the marketing may be costly, but the returns on investment are potentially great. I should like to leave this thought with you, that you can play a role in space technology as well as space science. You are a long way from the centers of activity, but reports, conferences, electronic communications, airplane travel all bridge the distance easily. When the conquest of space was a competition between the two superpowers, I expect the rest of the world enjoyed being on the sidelines. But now everyone wants to stake out his claim. Some of the small nations on the equator are claiming sovereignty over the space above their country, all the way to synchronous orbit, or perhaps to infinity. I hope that in New Zealand, at least, you take a more rational position. Costs are coming down. Thank you very much.